Medal of Honor by Mac Reynolds, Part 2. The Interplanetary Lines building was evidently their destination. The car whisked them up to the penthouse which topped it, and they landed on the terrace. Seated in beach chairs, an auto bar between them, were two men. They were both in their middle years. The impossibly corpulent one, Don Mathers vaguely recognized. From a newscast? From a magazine article? The other could have passed for a video stereotype villain, complete to the built-in sneer. Few men in actuality either look like or sound like the conventionalized villain. This was an exception, Don decided. He scowled at them. "I suppose one of you is the boss," he said.
"That's right," the fat one grunted.
He looked at Don's two escorts.
"Scotty, you and Rogers take off."
They got back into the car and left. The vicious-faced one said,
"This is Mr. Lawrence Deming. I am his secretary."
Deming puffed.
"Sit down, Lieutenant. What do you have to drink?" "My secretary's name is Rostov. Max Rostov." "Now, we all know each other's names. That is, assuming you're Sub-Lieutenant Donald Mathers."
Don said,
"Tequila."
Max Rostov dialed the drink for him, and without being asked, another cordial for his employer. Don placed Deming now. Lawrence Deming, billionaire. Robber baron, he might have been branded in an earlier age. Transportation baron of the solar system. Had he been a pig, he would have been butchered long ago. He was going unhealthily to Greece.
Rostov said, "You have identification?"
Don Mathers fingered through his wallet, brought forth his ID card. Rostov handed him his tequila, took the card, and examined it carefully, front and back. Deming huffed and said,
"Your color insignia tells me you pilot a scout. What sector do you patrol, Lieutenant?"
Don sipped at the fiery Mexican drink, looked at the fat man over the glass.
"That's military information, Mr. Deming."
Deming made a move with his plump lips.
"Did Scotty give you a 1,000-unit note?"
He didn't wait for an answer.
"You took it. Either give it back, or tell me what sector you patrol, Lieutenant."
Don Mathers was aware of the fact that a man of Deming's position wouldn't have to go to overmuch effort to acquire such information anyway. It wasn't of particular importance. He shrugged and said,
"A-22 to K-223. I fly the V-102.
Max Rostov handed back the ID card to Don and picked up a solar system sector chart from the short-legged table that sat between the two of them and checked it. He said,
"Your information was correct, Mr. Deming. He's the man."
Deming shifted his great bulk in his beach chair, sipped some of his cordial, and said,
"Very well. How would you like to hold the Galactic Medal of Honor, Lieutenant?"
Don Mathers laughed.
"How would you?" he said.
Deming scowled.
"I am not jesting, Lieutenant Mathers. I never jest. Obviously, I am not of the military. It would be quite impossible for me to gain such an award. But you, pilot of a scout.
And I've got just as much chance of winning the Medal of Honor as I have of giving birth to triplets.
The transportation magnate wiggled a disgustingly fat finger at him.
I'll arrange for that part of it.
Don Mathers goggled him. He blurted finally,
like hell you will. There's not enough money in the system to fiddle with the awarding of the Medal of Honor. There comes a point, Deming, when even your dough can't carry the load.
Deming settled back in his chair, closed his eyes, and grunted.
Tell him.
Max Rostov took up the ball.
A few days ago, Mr. Deming and I flew in from Io on one of the Interplanetary Line's freighters. As you probably know, they are completely automated. We were alone in the craft.
So?
Without invitation, Don Mathers leaned forward and dialed himself another tequila. He made it a double this time. A feeling of excitement was growing within him, and the drinks he had had earlier had worn away. Something very big, very, very big, was developing. He hadn't the vaguest idea what.
Lieutenant, how would you like to capture a Kraton light cruiser? If I'm not incorrect, probably Miro class.
Don laughed nervously, not knowing what the other was at, but still feeling the growing excitement.
He said, in all the history of the war between our species, we've never captured a Kraton ship intact. It'd help a lot if we could.
This one isn't exactly intact, but nearly so. Don looked from Rostov to Deming, and then back.
What the hell are you talking about?
In your sector, Rostov said, we ran into a derelict Miro-class cruiser. The crew, repulsive creatures, were all dead, some 30 of them. Mr. Deming and I assumed that the craft had been hit during one of the actions between our fleet and theirs, and that somehow both sides had failed to recover the wreckage. At any rate, today it is floating, abandoned of all life, in your sector. Rostov added softly, one has to approach quite close before any signs of battle are evident. The ship looks intact.
Deming opened his eyes again and said, and you're going to capture it.
Don Mathers bolted his tequila, licked the final drop from the edge of his lip.
And why is that rate the most difficult decoration to achieve that we've ever instituted?
Because, Rostov told him, his tone grating mockery, you're going to radio in reporting a Miro-class Kraton cruiser. We assume your superiors will order you to stand off, that help is coming, that your tiny scout isn't large enough to do anything more than keep the enemy under observation until the squadron arrives. But you will radio back that they are escaping, and that you plan to attack. When your reinforcements arrive, Lieutenant, you will have conquered the Kraton single-handed against odds of, what would you say? 50 to 1? Don Mather's mouth was dry, his palms moist. He said,
a one-man scout against a Miro-class cruiser? At least 50 to 1, Mr. Rostov. At least.
Deming grunted.
There would be little doubt of you getting the Galactic Medal of Honor, Lieutenant, especially since Colin Casey is dead. And there isn't a living bearer of the award.
Max, another drink for the lieutenant.
Don said,
Look, why? I think you might be right about getting the award. But why? And why me? And what's your percentage?
Deming muttered. Now we get to the point.
He settled back in his chair again and closed his eyes while his secretary took over. Max Rostov leaned forward, his wolfish face very serious.
Lieutenant, the exploitation of the Jupiter satellites is in its earliest stages. There is every reason to believe that the new sources of radioactives on Callisto alone may mean the needed power edge that can give us the victory over the Kradens. Whether or not that is so, someone is going to make literally billions out of this new frontier.
I still don't see.
Lieutenant Mathers, Rostov said patiently, the bearer of the Galactic Medal of Honor is above law. He carries with him an unalienable prestige of such magnitude that, well, let me use an example. Suppose a bearer of the Medal of Honor formed a stock corporation to exploit the pitch blend of Callisto. How difficult would it be for him to dispose of the stock?
Deming grunted. And suppose there were a few, crossed wires in the manipulation of the corporation's business.
He sighed deeply.
Believe me, Lieutenant Mathers, there are an incredible number of laws which have accumulated down through the centuries to hamper the businessman. It is a continual fight to be able to carry on at all. The ability to do no legal wrong would be priceless in the development of a new frontier.
He sighed again, so deeply as to make his bulk quiver.
Priceless.
Rostov laid it on the line, his face a leer.
We are offering you a three-way partnership, Mathers. You with your Medal of Honor are our front man. Mr. Deming supplies the initial capital to get underway, and I... He twisted his mouth with evil self-satisfaction. I was present when the Kraden ship was discovered, so I'll have to be cut in. I'll supply the brains.
Deming grunted his disgust, but added nothing. Don Mathers said slowly, looking down at the empty glass he was twirling in his fingers,
Look, we're up to our necks in a war to the death with the Kradens. In the long run, it's either us or them. At a time like this, you're suggesting that we fake an action that will eventually enable us to milk the new satellites to the tune of billions.
Deming grunted meaninglessly.
Don said, The theory is that all men, all of us, ought to have our shoulders to the wheel. This project sounds to me like throwing rocks under it.
Deming closed his eyes. Rostov said,
Lieutenant, it's a dog-eat-dog society. If we eventually lick the Kradens, one of the very reasons will be because we're a dog-eat-dog society. Every man for himself, and the devil take the hindmost. Our apologists dream up some beautiful gobbledygook phrases for it, such as free enterprise, but it's actually dog-eat-dog. Surprisingly enough, it works, or at least it has so far. Right now, the human race needs the radioactives of the Jupiter satellites. In acquiring them, somebody is going to make a tremendous amount of money.
Why shouldn't it be us?
Why not? If you or we can do it honestly.
Deming's grunt was nearer a snort this time. Rostov said sourly,
"Don't be naive, Lieutenant. Whoever does it is going to need little integrity. You don't win in a sharper's card game by playing your cards honestly. The bigger sharper wins. We've just found a joker somebody dropped on the floor. If we don't use it, we're suckers."
Deming opened his pig eyes and said,
"All this is on the academic side. We checked your background thoroughly before approaching you, Mathers. We know your record, even before you entered the space service. Just between the three of us, wouldn't you like out? There are a full billion men and women in our armed forces. You can be spared. Let's say you've already done your share. Can't you see the potentialities in spending the rest of your life with the Galactic Medal of Honor in your pocket?"
It was there, all right, drifting slowly. Had he done a more thorough job of his patrol, he should have stumbled upon it himself. If he had, there was no doubt that he would have, at first, reported it as an active enemy cruiser. Deming and Rostov had been right. The Kraydon ship looked untouched by battle. That is, if you approached it from the starboard and slightly abaft the beam. From that angle in particular, it looked untouched. It had taken several circlings of the craft to come to that conclusion. Don Mathers was playing it very safe. This thing wasn't quite so simple as the others had thought. He wanted no slip-ups. His hand went to a food compartment and emerged with a space thermo which should have contained fruit juice, but didn't. He took a long pull at it. Finally, he dropped back into the position he'd decided upon and flicked the switch of his screen. A base lieutenant's face illuminated it. He yawned and looked questioningly at Don Mathers. Don said, allowing a touch of excitement in his voice,
"Mathers, Scout V-102, Sector A-22-K-223.
Yeah, the other began, still yawning.
"I've spotted a Kraydon cruiser. Miro class, I think." The lieutenant flashed into movement. He slapped a button before him. The screen blinked, to be lit immediately again. A gray-haired fleet admiral looked up from papers on his desk.
"Yes?"
Don Mathers rapped. "Miro-class Kraydon in sector A-22-K-223, sir. I'm lying about 50 miles off. Undetected thus far, I think. He hasn't fired on me yet, at least."
The admiral was already doing things with his hands. Two subalterns came within range of the screen, took orders, dashed off. The admiral was rapidly firing orders into two other screens. After a moment, he looked up at Don Mathers again.
"Hang on, Lieutenant. Keep him under observation as long as you can.
What are your exact coordinates?"
Don gave them to him and waited. A few minutes later, the admiral returned to him.
"Let's take a look at it, Lieutenant."
Don Mathers adjusted the screen to relay the Kraydon cruiser. His palms were moist now, but everything was going according to plan. He wished that he could take another drink. The admiral said,
"Miro class, all right. Don't get too close, Lieutenant. They'll blast you to hell and gone. We've got a task force within an hour of you. Just hang on."
"Yes, sir," said Don.
"An hour."
He was glad to know that. He didn't have much time in which to operate. He let it go another 5 minutes, then he said,
"Sir, they're increasing speed."
"Damn,"
the Admiral said. Then rapid-fired some more into his other screens, barking one order after another. Don said, letting his voice go very flat,
"I'm going in, sir. They're putting on speed. In another 5 minutes, they'll be underway to the point where I won't be able to follow. They'll get completely clear."
The Admiral looked up, startled.
"Don't be a fool!"
"They'll get away, sir."
Knowing that the other could see his every motion, Don Mathers hit the cocking lever of his flak-flak gun with the heel of his right hand. The Admiral snapped,
"Let it go, you fool! You won't last a second."
Then, his voice higher,
"That's an order, Lieutenant."
Don Mathers flicked off his screen. He grimaced sourly, and then descended on the Kraden ship, his flak-flak gun, beaming it. He was going to have to expend every erg of energy in his scout to burn the other ship up to the point where his attack would look authentic, and to eliminate all signs of previous action. The awarding of the Galactic Medal of Honor, as always, was done in the simplest of ceremonies. Only the President and Captain Donald Mathers himself were present in the former's office in the Presidential Palace. However, as they both knew, every screen in the solar system was tuned into the ceremony. Don Mathers saluted and stood to attention. The President read the citation. It was very short, as Medal of Honor citations were always. "For conspicuous gallantry, far and beyond the call of duty, in which you single-handedly and against unbelievable odds attacked and destroyed an enemy cruiser while flying a scout armed only with a short-beam flak-flak gun." He pinned a small bit of ribbon and medal to Don Mathers' tunic. It was an inconspicuous, inordinately ordinary medal, the Galactic Medal of Honor. Don said hoarsely,
"Thank you, sir."
The President shook hands with him and said,
"I am President of the United Solar System, Captain Mathers, supposedly the highest rank to which a man can attain."
He added simply,
"I wish I were you."
End of part 2 of the Galactic Medal of Honor.